outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of your word which points us to the completed work of the Word made flesh, your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, everything necessary for our salvation has been perfectly accomplished in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Heavenly Father, fix our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our entire being on this precious gift, acquittal, justification, forgiveness, full and free, through the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, it's in His name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 545. Setting 3, page 184. Page 184, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to sustain me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your bulletin.
You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and of Joseph.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and
seated for our sermon hymn. Number 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. Number 556, we will sing verses 1 through 5.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, this is the last Sunday before the church enters the season of Lent. In just a few days, we'll gather here again for Ash Wednesday. Gone will be the green replaced with black and purple. The church will enter a season of repentant joy. During the season of Lent, the entire point of it is so that we can look with our eyes forward to Holy Week, to Maundy Thursday, to Good Friday, and to Easter. We will begin to watch what our Lord God does to His beloved Son to earn our forgiveness, life, and salvation by His work on the cross, by the empty tomb, by the glorious resurrection. We will spend the next 6 weeks here in church seeing what God does in Jesus. And all of it's done for you. What exactly should we be looking for? What exactly is it that we should see? Well, it's the same things we look for throughout the year in the church. And Jesus tells us what we're looking for in our gospel lesson for today. He says, "See, look, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he, the Son of Man, will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Jesus tells us, that's what we should be looking for. That's what Christ wants you to see this Lenten season. These events are necessary for you to see. After all, they are the fulfillment of the entire Scripture. From Genesis all the way through the end, everything written there is about the death of Jesus, the resurrection, the bringing of salvation to you here in word and sacrament. The truth is, for the next 6 weeks, there's nothing else more important than focusing our attention, pointing our eyes to Christ, the crucified and risen. This is what Jesus wants you to focus your attention on. And it's so important, in fact, that this is the third time in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus has told his disciples what will happen. The third time that Jesus has tried to direct their attention to the cross. The third time that Jesus has told them what the price is that must be paid to forgive sin. When Jesus says something three times, dear Christian, it's best that we pay attention. It's best that we look at what he's telling us to. It's best to listen to his words. Will we? Will we see what he wants? Will we listen? In our lesson, the disciples just don't get it. Their eyes won't focus on where Jesus is going. Three times Christ has said, "I'm going to the cross." And do you see what our gospel lesson says? They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was said. Three times it tells us, they just don't get it. Their eyes are focused elsewhere, on power and glory and kingdom. Their thoughts are on other things. Who will be the right-hand man in the kingdom? They have more important things to worry about. Making a little money on the side. To summarize it plainly, we could say this: their eyes are blinded to what is coming for their Lord. Doesn't stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem, though. He continues down the road and enters into the town of Jericho. It's the next stop on his journey to Jerusalem and to death and to the cross. And as they're walking through Jericho, who should they run into except a man who is blind? The blind man hears the commotion, says, "What's going on? What are all these people here for?" And someone tells him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." When the blind man hears who's going by, he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd tells him to shut up, to go away. But all he does is shout more. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus hears and demands to speak to him and asks him directly what this man, whose eyes are blind, wants to receive from Jesus. What does the blind man say? Does he say, "I want my eyes to work again, restore my sight"? No. He wants mercy. He begs to receive his sight as a part of the mercy that Jesus is all too eager to give. So Christ restores his sight. Do you see what's happened by hearing that Jesus is passing by hearing his word? Even with blinded eyes, this man believes in Jesus. He trusts in Christ. He looks to him for mercy. He will not be distracted in his pursuit of Christ. He will not be stopped from looking to his Lord and Savior. They cannot rebuke him. Even unworking eyes can't keep him from finding Jesus. He wants mercy. And so Jesus gives it to him. Do you see the juxtaposition between these two accounts today? We begin with the disciples who are told very clearly where Jesus is going, and yet their eyes are blinded to the reality of it. They cannot see what Jesus will accomplish in Jerusalem. And at the same time, a man who is literally blind sees Jesus for who he is, the mercy giver, the Savior, the Lord. He sees that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he trusts that word that he learned in his youth. He looks to Jesus. His eyes are open, even if he cannot see the Lord with them. We're entering Lent. We know where Jesus is going. We've heard it preached here. The last few weeks, especially. Will you be blind? Or will you look to Jesus? Wednesday begins the fast. Our alleluias will fall silent. Our services will be stripped down to bare bones. Our crucifix will be veiled. On Monday, Thursday, all the extra things will be stripped down from the altar and hidden so that all that remains is Jesus. During this time, where will your eyes look? Will they look to Jesus? Will they meditate upon the cross? Will your ears be open to the word of the cross so that your eyes may be driven to fix upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? Will you, like the blind man from our gospel lesson, watch as Jesus travels to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, to the cross, to the tomb? Or will you, just like the disciples in our text, understand none of these things? Will what is happening be hidden from your eyes? Will you fail to grasp what's going on? Will you be spiritually blind? Will you find sports practice, especially as soccer season begins, television, as a new show season begins? Is that where your eyes will look? Will they spend hours every day looking at your phone, hours closed with sleep, or staring at a screen at your job? Will those things be so captivating that you're unable to look to Jesus, that you excuse yourself from being in God's word and divine service? Will you focus on other things, like what you emotionally want, about what your real identity is, even if that is against God's word? Will you fulfill your carnal desires, or will you allow them to be curbed underneath God's commandments? Will you look to gain more wealth, or power, or influence, or authority, or status? What is it that you will look at this Lenten season? Will you fast in such a way as to be driven to Christ's great sacrifice for sin? Or will you abuse God's gifts and use your fasting as a way to show others how you're more holy than they are, more worthy? Will you, like the self-blinded disciples, dissuade meditation upon the crucifixion of our Lord? It's too gruesome, after all. Too bloody, too gory, offensive. Or will you, like the blind man who's made well, look to Christ, beg for mercy, and receive the grace God wishes to give? Dear Christian, your sinful nature does not want you to focus on Christ. Your sinful nature will find anything else under the sun to distract you, to lead you astray, to catch your eye. Repent. Yes, repent. Confess that that is the truth, and beg for Christ to have mercy on you. You see, Christ is eager to save. He wants to have mercy. He wants to take away sin as far as the east is from the west. That's why he's going to Jerusalem. Cheerfully, he goes. Willingly, he gives himself up for you. He sets aside his godly power. He allows himself to be betrayed, arrested, flogged, mocked, spat upon, tortured, stripped naked, crucified, stabbed, and killed. And he does it all to forgive your sin, to purify your wandering eyes. Every last sin that you have ever done, he allows to be laid upon himself. Every last guilty feeling he suffers and bleeds for. All weakness paid for. Every sin gone. And being killed for your sin, he is also raised so that you might know where you are going, so that you might see with your eyes what will happen to you on the last day. That you too, in him, will be raised to life everlasting. So that you might have certainty that sin is no longer your master, that death no longer has power over you, but that you shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord in a world without end. That's what Christ wishes you to see. That's what he has done for you. He is crucified and risen so that you may be set free from sin and its desire to blind you. You are forgiven. Your eyes are free. Free to look to Jesus. Dear Christian, like the blind man, use your eyes this Lenten season. Look to Jesus. Look to Golgotha. Meditate on what's been done for you. Rejoice as God conquers sin for you. Rejoice as death is destroyed by death forever. Hear the word of God that creates faith this Lenten season. Somberly receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the body that hung on the cross, the blood that poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Be here on Maundy Thursday to receive that gift. Remember the 3 hours that your Lord hung on the cross in the darkness of the world and sin during the Traore service. On Good Friday, see the Lord placed into the tomb at the Tenebrae Vespers service. Sit and watch with your own eyes during the Easter Vigil, remembering that your sin has been washed away in baptism, and rejoice as Christ, the light of the world, pierces the darkness of it and raises in the glory of the resurrection on Easter morning. Your sin is forgiven. Your eyes are free. Be no longer blind, but look at what your God accomplishes for you in Christ your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand together and sing the offertory, page 192 in your hymnal, page 192.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's gift of salvation in Jesus would be your peace and joy and comfort and assurance today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continue with the prayers of the church. Please stand. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the family of Matt Durr, whose father, Roger, was called away in death this past week. And we also pray for friend of Good Shepherd, Harlan Chamberlain, who is hospitalized following surgery. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, Lord, your promise to be a rock of refuge for your baptized children. Be gracious to us. Create in us humble and contrite hearts that we might always cry out to you for mercy. Fill us with your love and grant us grace to follow Christ our Savior with joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, the leaders of our church, our synodical president, our district president, our circuit visitor, our pastors, and all pastors in Christ. Make your face shine on them so that through their faithful service, the eyes of those blind to your mercies may be opened to see the salvation they have in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, our nation and its leaders. Guide them in the direction you would have them go, that peace and prosperity, truth and justice, religion and piety may dwell in our land. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, the widows and orphans, the lonely and downtrodden, the poor and destitute, and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are shut in and unable to attend divine service with us. Be a mighty fortress for them, surrounding them with your compassion and care. Lord, in your mercy, remember those, Lord, who are sick, hospitalized, in treatment, undergoing surgery or recovering, and all those in need, especially Harlan, Karen, Mark, Tom, Jan, Mark, Cecilia, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, Pearl, John, Brooke, Rita, the family of Matt Doerr, all those that we remember in our hearts. Comfort them with your presence. Sustain them and their faith through your glorious promises, and bring healing to them as you will and know best. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, those who come to the holy altar this day to receive the very body and blood of Jesus, the medicine of immortality. Bless us that we may depart in his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, your promise to fill the wedding banquet of your Son and his bride, the church, with guests clad in white robes. For those who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, we give you thanks and praise. Bring us with them to the day of our Lord's glorious return, that we may all receive the inheritance you have prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right
so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy,
O Sanctum, O Sanctum, O Sanctum.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Not part of God's peace, joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
Christ is shed for you.
Amen.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand.
Lord, have
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Kids, you can go get some goodies now in the fellowship hall. We want to be back in here in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. Our closing hymn, number 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. What a great reminder, not only in the sermon, but also in that last hymn. The walk that we have before us that really begins today, officially on Wednesday, with our Ash Wednesday journey to the cross and empty tomb. We pray that God would richly bless our Lenten and Holy Week and Easter journey. Please check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Special worship for the next six Wednesdays begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Two services each Wednesday, 4 and 6:30. Fellowship meal in between. This Wednesday, if you'd like to participate in the imposition of ashes, come a few minutes early, and the opportunity and instruction will be there as well. You're all invited to coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We continue our study of Romans 5 in the fellowship hall. Pastor, I know you're winding down with a summary of Christian doctrine. What are you looking at today?
Well, we'll wrap up looking at prayer and kind of answer any last questions. And then also this evening at 7 o'clock in Seward, we do have our college Bible study as well, room 109 of the TLEC.
Okay, and summary of Christian doctrine is in
109.
All right, we have a
in the corner over there.
We have a special guest here today. Do you want to introduce him?
Yeah.
And explain what's going on?
Well, would you stand up, Pastor Dreyer? We have Pastor Dreyer, who's a admissions counselor from the Fort Wayne Seminary here. So if any of you are interested or considering or even just a little bit thinking about being a pastor or a deaconess, he'd be happy to talk with you about that. And he'll also be here to do a few things for us on the radio. But this is Pastor John Dreyer, and we're glad to have him here with us this morning.
Thanks for being with us, Pastor. And you've been here before. When I saw him in the hallway, I said, wow, you're half the man that you used to be. And I meant that physically, not mentally or spiritually. So great to have you with us, and God's blessings on your work as you travel around. May God lift up people to serve in the various ways that God has allowed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Let's go get some coffee and goodies, and hope and pray to see you Wednesday. God's blessings in Jesus.